All right, it's now 5:30 PM on January 22nd. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 5:30 so that we could do a roll call. Melissa Hartman?
Here.
Dennis Nelson?
Here.
We have, Michael Norman?
Here.
Thomas Patterson?
Here.
And Peter Van Gula?
Here.
And there's no council liaison present. Paul Esparza, staff liaison to the City of Bisbee Planning Services. And we have Deanna Flagler is the attorney representing the Board of Adjustment. So we'll move to call to the public. Is there anyone that would like to speak on anything that's not on the agenda tonight? If there is no one, then we'll move on to agenda item number one, which is the election of a chair and a vice chair from among the members. What I wasn't sure about is, because it's been so long, I couldn't even determine who had previously been chair or vice chair. But I guess amongst you, you guys can entertain a motion or, nominate someone for chair and vice chair if you want to do that. And then we can let that person conduct the meeting at that point.
I guess I'm curious how many of the members have been on the Board of Adjustment previously. This is my first meeting in the Board of Adjustment since.
Peter and I were at the last board meeting, which is really kind of a fiasco because we had no direction or notice of procedure or any of that type of thing. So I'm really thankful for the city having seen the error of its ways, as it were, to put this training session in. I thought, as far as having, electing a chair and a vice chair, I don't know, three of you, I guess, a couple of you anyway, and I don't know what your experience in life has been or whatever, so I thought maybe it might be an idea just to go around and just give a brief.
Makes sense.
Whatever, our experience. Mm-hmm. I'm a retired attorney and a judicial officer. I'm still an active member of the Washington State Judicial Bar, and I still sit on appellate panels in the state of Washington for Indian tribes. So, and I've been on many committees and things with the city. I was on the city council, on the hospital board. I've been doing too much stuff. But anyway, that's a brief summary of the things that I've been doing.
And as we introduce, I don't know if it'd be appropriate to say whether it's you'd be willing to be the chair or vice chair.
Oh, I'd be willing.
I'm Melissa Hartman. I've been in Bisbee about 10 years. I spent my career as a civil servant. I worked for the City of Tucson Mayor and City Council. I worked for Mayor George Miller for 16 years. Two other council offices. I worked as council aide, and then I moved into community development in the City of Tucson until I took a job here in Bisbee through the county and worked not quite 2 years as the director of the Housing Authority. I then retired out. I worked a short stint in the City of Bisbee when John Charlie was the community development director, saying I'm on. I served on boards. I done a lot in domestic violence, mental health, and my work. I'd be willing to be advice. I'm not ready. First meeting, I'm not ready to be chair of a committee, but I need to make sure I understand it a little better.
I'm Tom Patterson. I had a company in Tucson where we made night vision mining systems for the M16 for the military, but I chaired the Mayor's Small Business Commission. I sat on the Downtown Preservation Committee. I was on the Pima County Board of Equalization, hearing commercial and residential tax appeals for 3 years. Moved to Bisbee. I sit on the Police and Fire Advisory Committee, the Board of Adjustment. I was on the school board. I am now on the governing board of the Cochise Technology District. I taught real estate sales classes, real estate brokers classes, and real estate mortgage brokers classes at a public school. Instructor's license. I was the first instructor hired by Jim Hogan. And I was on the board of the Arthritis Foundation. So, I mean, whatever the committee wants, I'm game. I'd do anything but take notes. Because you wouldn't want me to take notes anyway, you'd be able to read, so. But I think we've got a pretty good group of people, and I see a lot of the commissions and boards coming together finally, not only having quorums, but having good knowledge of groups of people to put it together, so.
Mike Norman, I've lived in Bisbee full-time for, I don't know, 2.5 years. Owned some properties here a little bit longer than that. My career's been in state and local government, worked for ADOT, worked for the city of Chandler. I currently work for city of Sierra Vista in their public works department. My educational background is in urban planning and public administration. I've been involved with a number of different boards and committees in my career. Currently also serve on the city's City of Bisbee Streets and Infrastructure Committee. So yeah, that's my experience, and I know I'm working full time. My time is kind of limited, so I don't know if I'd want to be the chair, but I'd be willing to be vice chair, but or just a member.
My name is Peter from Goodcloth. I've lived here for 28 years and own property here. I've worked prior to coming to Disney. I worked extensively with the homeless, with both the Good Girl Foundation, as well as with the Phoenix and the Tucson. And since I've been here, I came here to work in Mexico, and I worked for 9 years in Mexico with the power company here, the CFE, the Comisión Federal, and I also worked with DIF, which is a social services organization, as well as with Infonavit, which provides housing for the workers. Aside from the fact that my main job was working with the carrying heavy machinery in the mines and power plants and steel mills and cement plants, so that was my trade, and doing forensics on machinery, very large machines, and I'm asked to evaluate the causes of the failures, whether or not it was abuse of the machinery or lack of training of workers and so forth on 45 acres. And I was on the city council here, and I've been also with the Streets and Infrastructure Committee for a number of years. I've established some safety protocols at the wastewater treatment plant that were lacking completely. There was tremendous dangers. We were exposed to major dangers there due to lack of OSHA-approved railings and safety equipment around the plant itself. And I also worked on the wastewater treatment plant in terms of upgrading the documentation and predictive maintenance of the various pieces of equipment that were there. At the same time, then I was banished from everything, and I was told never to come back to the plant, even though I had uncovered a number of discrepancies that affected our welfare here in Bisbee. So I was specifically told that I was banned from the plant and threatened with being reported to Homeland Security for the revelations that I presented to the council and to the folks that were interested, or supposedly interested. That's my history here in Bisbee, and right now I'm a recluse. And I am disabled, so, and I'm 81, so I'm not interested in being a chairman or assistant chairman or anything, but I'm willing to participate in the decisions that are being made.
It's an impressive bunch of qualifications from everybody. Yeah.
All right. Well, having heard that, does anyone want to make a motion?
I will. Donnie Dennis Nelson is chair of the Board of Adjustment, if he would so accept.
I'll second.
Margaret. We nominate Melissa Hartman as vice chair.
Second.
You would accept.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess we need to do a vote, right?
Well, we take a position at a time.
Yeah.
If there's any other nominations.
Yeah. Any other nominations or other discussion or? All those in favor of the nomination of Dennis Nelson as chairman of the Board of Adjustment?
Aye.
Yeah. Any above? All right. We have a nomination for Melissa Hartman for vice chair of the Board of Adjustment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Looks like we've got Chairman Nelson and Vice Chairman Hartman. So I guess you want to take it from here?
The most this committee has accomplished.
Yeah.
And we probably should show that with unanimous.
Okay, yeah.
Both.
Okay, unanimous votes, yeah.
So then I guess we go to item two on the agenda, which is the discussion but no action to be taken regarding training hearing procedures.
All right, I'm Jana Flagler, and very nice to meet everybody. I just a little background. I am brought in to be the advisor to the Board of Adjustment because of a conflict of interest that the county attorney's office has in the particular substantive matter that's coming up on the 30th. So the training today is a general brush-up training to kind of go over procedures and what to expect. And the Board of Adjustment is a particularly unique kind of board because, as the courts have recognized, Boards of Adjustment are given a quasi-judicial role. So you have this unique role. You're not just a commissioner or a board of the city. You're also overseeing evidence and witnesses and presentation and making a decision. So that makes these...
So are we sitting as a trial court or a court of review?
It is not a court of review. So what that means is that in your position, you do act almost like a trial court. There will be presentation of evidence and questioning of witnesses. Unlike a trial court, if you have questions of the witnesses, you are allowed to all ask it. And that's not necessarily true that a trial court can't, but it's a bit different. So I gave you all a copy of my letter. That letter was sent to the primary parties in the matter that you'll be hearing next week. And that is DRB application 1824. And I provided it not because we're going to talk about substance, because that is not, we are not here to talk about the substance of this appeal. That is something that only to be considered in the hearing that we have next week, but to talk about the unique procedures that we've developed for the hearing for next week. We want to be very careful that the record is thorough and that all of the evidence is developed or a reasonable time is allowed to develop the evidence. So,
can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever decisions that we make, are they all subject to approval by the City Council?
No.
Okay, so our decisions are separate from any City Council decision.
That's correct.
They're bound by it.
That's correct. The decisions you are making are particular to whether or not something falls within the guidelines or an exception of the guidelines and meets any historic requirements. Not, did somebody do something wrong? Was there a procedure not followed? What happened in January?
I understand that, but
you'll be presented with lots of opportunities to get caught up in that. But we'll talk about that as we go along.
Okay.
So, the first thing that I want to remind you is the Board of Adjustment is established under state statute. So, a Board of Adjustment is mandated in the state of Arizona for every municipality. The statute says Boards of Adjustment are to hear zoning appeals, special use permits, changes of zoning, that type of thing. In the Bisbee City Code, in the zoning code is where the appeal from a design and review board, the DRB decision, is allowed. So it's in the zoning code when they're talking about all the different things the DRB can do and what the DRB is tasked with, at the very end of it, it says, oh, and if you don't like that, go to the Board of Adjustment. So that is a uniquely local provision.
So is the zoning board just out of this?
Yeah, no zoning board at all at this point, right.
Just us, though.
Right, right. So it was a VRB decision. Somebody didn't like it. There's a mechanism in the zoning code that says go to the Board of Adjustment. Case law is uniformly consistent that when you go to the Board of Adjustment, it's a fresh start. It's a fresh start, and maybe a little bit different circumstances. Maybe a few months have gone by, but the presentation of evidence and the witnesses and what you're looking at is a fresh start. So there's specific case law that says you're not going to go open the file and look at what the DRB looked at and say, did they do that right or wrong? That's not what you're on about. Did they give that person an opportunity to talk? That's not what you're looking at. That is not what your decision is. So, and that's going to be hard not to get caught up in, because I think that that is the appellant's position, is all the wrongs that happened. But the review here is a de novo review. De novo means...
So do we get any kind of, like, I'll call it a notice of appeal, I mean, setting out what specifically the appellant is objecting to?
Yes, you will get that.
And when will we get that?
Quite fat, quite large. And so final evidence exchange, material exchange, is occurring on Monday. The appellant's appeal should be available electronically before then. There's no reason not to provide that before then, so that you can look at it and read it.
When's the hearing day?
The 30th, which is Wednesday.
A Wednesday.
So we're going to get this thing this 2 days before the hearing.
You're going to have the formal notice of the exchange, but you can have, after we finish this training, there's no reason that you can't have the appellant's appeal document. And it has as exhibits things like the applicant, Mr. Scott's application. So you will be able to look at quite a lot of things. It is not the most beautiful document as far as photocopying and readability. And I'm hoping that that'll get replaced, but a lot of it's readable. You'll be able to make some headway with it.
Is it lengthy?
Mm-hmm. But we have...
Is it online? Where do we get that?
Now, I think Mr. Sparzel will be sending members of the Board of Adjustment materials, and you've already gotten some with your agenda. Mm-hmm. Those were to just brush up on. Riggins Rules is fun to read, but just to brush up on some basic rules. And I think there's no reason why we can't send you initial documents and supplement as we go, just like you've received this letter now, which establishes procedure. I want to talk about the materials you're going to review and the length of them when we get toward the end, because I believe that the whole thing is much more narrow than what you're going to get, thousands of pages of
documents. Prior to this, any approvals or reviews was done before the fact, basically before the structure was built. Those were prior approvals. So we're looking after the fact, what has gone on since, is really where we sit. And whether or not that meets, it is within the ramifications of what the city considers okay.
Yeah, whether it meets the design review guidelines. And there is an argument about whether things were actually approved, et cetera. But at the end of my letter, I provide the basis that the city is taking and the Board of Adjustment is taking with regard to stale matters or matters
that the position the city's taking, the Board of Adjustment saying we haven't taken a position yet. So how can you state what our position is when this is the first time we've met?
So the law, let's go to that directly. So the law says that untimely appeals are a board's decision concerning something that was not timely appealed is a void decision. So the
Zoning code requires appeal within 30 days of a decision of the DRB. Decisions that were made in March or February or June or July and not appealed within the 30-day period under the law, there is no jurisdiction. You don't have jurisdiction to hear it. That legal position is on me. That legal position is going to stand or fall independent of what you're doing.
So when do you make that?
I've made it. It is jurisdictional. If the board were to try to go back and hear, I mean, think of it this way. A board of adjustment cannot go back and consider a year later whether or not a permit was properly issued on a house that's already built. There are deadlines for a reason. So that jurisdictional threshold is black letter law in Arizona as far as agencies and boards. So if that decision, so this letter went out on December 11th, if that decision, my decision in this letter, telling the applicant and the appellant what we were going to hear at the Board of Adjustment, if that decision was objectionable, I believe that there is a process whereby they could take that to court, just the decision on what we're going to hear and not hear. And that's called a special action. So that, at this point, neither party has chosen a special action, this decision, and take it up to court and say, hey, you know, Ms. Flagler's declaring no jurisdiction to this board. We don't like it, court. We want you to weigh in. I believe because the case law is really, really clear. You don't have jurisdiction. You can't hear stale things. So
just if I could get clarification. So what I'm understanding is that there were other things that the person appealed, other design review board decisions that occurred before August 28th of 2018 that the person appealed, but we're not going to hear those because the appeal wasn't timely. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the only thing we're looking at is a DRB decision that was made after August 28th. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or
the was the decision?
It was modifications. I believe it was September 5th is when the DRB met, and he requested modifications to his application.
Okay.
And I believe that those modifications are identified as issue one, two, and three.
Okay.
So if that makes sense. But
I don't understand the limitation on appealing the permit, but can someone come in and raise the question of whether the permit was followed, or, I mean, can they come to the design reviewer and say, yeah, well, I'm not appealing the permit, I'm appealing the fact that this construction did not meet the scope of the permit. I mean, when there's 30 days to appeal a permit, that's fine if the scope of the permit is followed the way it is supposed to be. It would seem like if the question is, was it followed, that would be a different issue altogether.
The question is not, the question is whether or not a board, the DRB, rendered a decision improperly and whether that should be appealed. So the DRB board makes, say, for example, a decision that the house can be painted lime green, then there's 30 days, that's a public decision, there's 30 days from that day. Whether the house is painted lime green during that 30 days is not relevant. That's a public decision. That the public is on notice. If you come down from your vacation 6 months later and you see the lime green house, it is a fait accompli. You cannot then say, oh, now I'm going to fight the green house. So the law has addressed that in very legalistic terms and said there is no jurisdiction for an appeal board of adjustment, to consider something that has long run past its deadline.
So we have jurisdiction to hear these three issues and these three issues only.
That is correct.
And that our charge is basically, is not really what the DRB did. It's a new trial.
That's correct.
It's a retrial, basically. So we have to decide whether the revision was allowable, number one, whether exterior staircase is allowable, mm-hmm. and three, whether the building setback was allowable. Is that right?
Correct, a reduction on the building setback.
So your position is we don't have the right to hear that.
No, those are the three things you are going to hear.
Okay, we are going
that,
to
hear. The appeal was timely mm-hmm. on that.
And anything, all the other stuff, their appeal wasn't timely.
That's
so
correct.
That's not eligible for, or we don't have jurisdiction over.
That's correct. That's my legal advice, and that's the legal position that I have taken on behalf of the board, and again, with a mechanism of a special action that one of the parties could go to court if they don't like it. No one has done that
so
yet.
So can we lay the blame on you?
Yes,
our legal
actually, frankly, I got that to carry your notice.
What do you say, on behalf of the board or on behalf of the city?
The city is under case law, not an independent entity from the board. The board is one of its sub entities. What action you take, the city has liability for. The city has to defend or support. So it is your decision on that that the board is making through me as their legal counsel, saying you don't have jurisdiction to hear this other stuff.
And our research, basically, as a committee from is the historic document and the zoning rules and regs. I mean, if we went to do research, that would be where we would do it.
Yeah.
And
so
those are city documents.
Mm-hmm. And I that's what I want to get to with the training.
Mm-hmm.
So and this will come up again. I appreciate thrashing through it because that's the most complicated part of this. Okay, so Board of Adjustment, de novo appeal means you're hearing all the evidence on these three issues. Again, it all gets presented to you again. You're not going to read some record. You're not going to consider what comments were made previously. It's all fresh. It's you.
Who swears the witnesses in?
You do, as chairman. Mm-hmm. I think that is the appropriate way to do that. The Design and Review Board in the Historic Preservation Overlay District is a very unique little twist on a zoning code, and you probably all know this, and I'm just going to remind you. So we have a zoning code for the City of Bisbee, and then we have the Historic Overlay District, and the Historic Overlay District has the modifications to all the zoning codes. So you, in preparation for next week, need to pull up your zoning code again and your DRB guidelines, which these will be available electronically from Paul. The zoning code's available as a download, or you can read it on the computer, or we can get you provisions of it that are relevant. You don't need to read the commercial signage.
If they're inconsistent, which takes precedent?
It says in them, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I want to say the historic design
overlay.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure. Certainly for things, it specifically says it takes precedent on things like setbacks and other historic modifications. Okay. So hearing process and procedures. As you found out, there are no bylaws for the Board of Adjustment that were formally adopted, and there are no formal hearing processes and procedures that have been adopted by the Board of Adjustment, the City of Bisbee, as far as I know. There are hearing processes and procedures and guidelines for other large municipalities in Arizona. The takeaway from all of it is that the courts respect what you do. They respect that you are going to be the front line hearing the witnesses speak, judging their credibility, making evaluations, and as long as the process is reasonable, we're fine. It cannot be unreasonable. And I just want to read you this goofy example of when something got reversed. The City of Phoenix had a Board of Adjustment hearing, and the man who I think
wanted to get his, keep his house the color it was or something. The chairman said, "Mr. Rosen, as we have a rather full agenda yet ahead of us, I wonder if we might have you come direct to the point in relation to the opposition's arguments. And then, secondly, present your arguments on part two." Reversed. That being said, the court said it's couched in polite terms, but Mr. Rosen was very rattled by it, and he thought he was basically being told to be quiet, and he closed his stuff and sat down. So what the court did is sent it back and said, "Board of Adjustment, adjust your procedures a little so that he gets, you know, more time." It's one of the rare ones where, surprisingly, that person was.
So because we don't have bylaws to state that each witness has 10 minutes to present their case or 30 minutes, other than the open meeting law, the only requirements we have are to be intelligent and fair and reasonable.
Yes, and what's set forth in this letter, mm-hmm. which is the time limits. These time limits were negotiated to some extent with the appellant, but the idea being to meet the case law's requirement that there be ample time for the parties to present their arguments. And because this is such an emotional and kind of major issue for the city, we came to this decision, and I apologize, everybody's going to have to hang in, and Chairman, you'll have to call some breaks, I'm sure. That the staff will provide the basic background, some basic materials, also some excerpts from the zoning code and DRB that are going to be helpful for you. Then the applicant, Mr. Skye, will be given an opportunity to present his request, and you'll be given up to an hour. Mm-hmm. We have a.
But this is based on another city's guidelines, or this is based on
this
case
is,
law?
This is based on a negotiation between the parties that participated with me on reaching this time frame. It imposes a lot on you guys, but it is designed to ensure an absolutely fair opportunity for presentation. I'm guessing that everybody will be shorter, and we all learn in law school that, you know, anything past 7 minutes and you're toast. But maybe, you know, it'll take a while. There's things to look at and things to present. So this process.
I'm sorry, quick mm-hmm. question. Should either of the people speaking, I guess for lack of a better word, get irate or inappropriate, how would we handle that?
Our chairman mm-hmm. would speak to that.
Basically, if someone's being, you know, unruly or whatever, you give them a warning, basically tell them that, you know, this is not really acceptable, so please, you know, calm down. And in the event that you don't, we'll just have to ask that you be escorted out.
Okay. I just need to make sure that you had a mechanism.
Yep. And remind everybody, we may want to remind everybody in the beginning that this
sure.
is a civil process, and everybody will have has been given an allotted amount of time, and we'll try to watch those time frames. So on this time frame that I set out in the letter, what's important is that during that time, if the first person presenting, the applicant, wishes to have six witnesses, that's part of what they're going to do during their time.
That's part of their hour.
That's part of their hour, correct. Here's where it gets a little hard for them, and we'll have to be, you have to give them maybe a little leeway
right.
if necessary, which mm-hmm. is if the person starts testifying and it's extremely useful material information that you haven't heard before, and then it prompts some questions from each of you, we need a mechanism where each of you can ask those questions, but it has to be orderly. My suggestion is that the chairman either draw straws or go down the line, but in one way or another that you can remember, and try to keep questions, you know, short and succinct, because your questions will be taking one of their time slots.
Again, the time frame that has been agreed to is one that had been used in another case. So you cite Murphy B. Town in Chino Valley. So you use their guideline as the guideline you agreed to with the parties, other than the design review board itself?
The swap back and forth appears in some case law. Murphy B. Town of Chino Valley was the legal support for that de novo review, that you're not reviewing the previous board's decision. There is not a single case that I've found published where more than, I think one of them had 20 minutes was spent. There was a zoning board that spent until 2:30 in the morning on one single case, but not a board of adjustment. So
but this is what you probably agreed to with the parties.
Right, right. How to come to a compromise, and it had to be fair to both sides. So I just, that witness process is something that we want to make sure that we all know what to expect, so that everyone of you feels like you're able to get your questions answered. Be cognizant of the fact that some of your questions may get answered with the next person or the next witness. But
and are all the questions then asked after the presentations?
Typically, a witness would testify, and then if the person, applicant or appellant, were finished questioning them, then the chair would say, if you're finished with your witness, let me ask the board, does any board member have a question?
And then the other side has the right to ask questions.
Correct. No argument, and you'll have to be firm with that. They don't get to argue with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And that's tough, but I think our chairman's up for it.
I've got a lot of trial experience, so I don't anticipate any serious problems.
Good.
I do have a question about exhibits. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be labeled, or is, how does that work? I mean,
my request to both parties is that they, what did I say in here? Anyway, I was in here somewhere. That they identify
number every page.
Yeah, number every page. That may be more than we can expect. It's certainly not a prerequisite, and I don't think this board should reject anything because it's not numbered. It may make it useless for the person, particularly if it's this thick.
Well, it's easier if they are, but, you know, I mean, it's basically an informal process. And
yeah, it's easier for us to communicate about it if we're reviewing a particular.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My office, it's called Bates numbering, but it's a method of affixing a number to every single page. We Bates numbered the entire appeal for the appellant because his wasn't in the identifiers by section were impossible for me to follow. And I'm hoping that's what he submits, and I will ask him to please submit it, because his packet thus far is the biggest. It has, I don't know, 1,000 pages or something. So.
And we're going to have 2 days to review it.
No, that can probably come, as if he gives me permission to use the base numbered one, we'll give it to you tomorrow.
Soonest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, please. Yeah. Now, this is the fourth meeting that's been scheduled. And if we had been able to do this out a little further, we would have had much more time to look at the information. I'm concerned about the length of time we have to review the documents.
Which is, if the committee doesn't feel really adequately prepared, do we have the authority to sit over or postpone or continue the hearing?
I think so.
I think so.
I think so, absolutely. It's within your power to say that there's too much material to review. If you consider the narrowing of what is at issue, when you see the appeal that is before you next week, you will be able, I think, to readily to see that you know, maybe 90% of what is there is things that the decision has been made that there is no jurisdiction to hear those, and those are not going to be before the board. The board will...
I know I'm taking these questions out of order and stuff, but
What if the DRB regs and the zoning code don't address one of these issues?
The, I think they do. As far as I know, you, everything has a standard, and as far as I know, the applicant may not point you to that particular code, but the staff will say this is to be considered under this and this, you know. The appellant will point you to either the same provisions and argue them differently or some other provisions. So that is, you will have authority for the decision from somebody in the process.
But it's your opinion that 90% is not relative to the issue, but that doesn't mean that that might be our position if we let it.
You are correct, and that's why I'm not saying we're going to exclude that evidence from what you're able to see. I think you may find that there's a great deal of it that doesn't impact the three questions that you're addressing. But I'm not, I agree, I'm not making that decision for you. You are, as the trier of the fact here, you are ultimately to decide what you think is relevant and what you think is material to your decision. And I'm not going to affect that. I'm simply limiting what the questions are for you to decide.
If for some reason I suggest that the board feels that they need more time, that we find that out sooner than later, because we could have witnesses coming in from other states. Mm-hmm. And I would prefer not having an additional burden of indicating that we have provided a financial burden on somebody.
That's a very,
well, we've been told that some of the documents won't be available until Monday, and the hearing is Wednesday. That's a pretty short fuse.
Well, let's see what we get electronically. Mm-hmm.
But I can certainly send out tomorrow, right? I mean, everything, I mean, even the packet from September 5th, which is going to have the information that was provided by the applicant. There's things that already exist now, right, that would mm-hmm. be really useful to get out. And maybe you and I will get together tomorrow before I hit send. I'll get with Dana, and I'll make sure that we get some stuff to you at least tomorrow, which is a week out, right? Mm-hmm. And then
I anticipate the things that you will be receiving that are going to supplement that are going to be enlargements, diagrams, things that are labeled for you to, you know, have bigger pictures of, things like that. And I don't even know that we can get those to you in advance. We will have the materials in advance, but some of them are going to be demonstrative of a smaller exhibit, and I'll ask him to submit the smaller one to you. But
so there's been a discovery process or exchange exhibits and things like that, so nothing new will come in
as of Monday.
As of Monday, okay.
This coming Monday, or
this yeah. coming Monday.
Okay, so that is the mm-hmm. deadline for discovery.
The deadline to exchange, for the parties to exchange whatever they want to submit.
Can I ask a process question? So design review board, they approve the design of the structure, correct? But they don't issue the building permit. So who did the city issue the building permit? And I guess I'm wondering, so design review board approved the design, the owner took that to the city to get his building permit with his construction drawings. And so do you know, were there changes in the design between the design review board approval and what he took to get his building permit? Or is that what we're going to be looking at?
Some of that is what you're going to be looking at. So the application that was submitted in August and decided September 5th, was that right? September 5th?
Yes.
It was these three items, and the construction on those three items was complete or in process mm-hmm. at that time, mm-hmm. even. So, you're, as to these three items, you're not in too much of a different position than previously.
But they have 10 days before, now Tuesday, the Wednesday is the appeal. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the hearing.
Okay, and they have 10 days prior to that. So it should have all been in already, right?
Yes, and I got
it got bumped forward to the final submission of documents for this Monday. And if that is an impossibility, I think everybody needs to look at it tomorrow, and then if it is an impossibility and we need to continue the hearing, we need to let people know.
And we can't decide this. We have to meet again as a group to make that decision, right?
Unless we made it today. This is an open hearing.
Well.
No, it's not on the agenda.
It's not, yeah.
It's not on the agenda.
Right.
But.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
So as soon as we can make. If you individually, I don't think you, one way to do it is you individually communicate to Paul. I don't feel comfortable, if that's how you feel, I don't feel comfortable because I haven't had enough time. Then Paul has that information from each one of you. And then Paul would contact myself or whoever, and that decision would be made and then go back out to you. But you couldn't talk to each other.
That's right.
And we would need at least 24 hours in advance to have an emergency meeting, correct?
Yes.
All right. Yes. And again, we're looking at potential people coming in from out of town.
So if we have the information tomorrow and we determine that it can't happen, then the soonest we could meet would be Friday to schedule an emergency meeting or to reschedule the meeting for next Wednesday. Or does that have to be formally done?
Well,
and then I have to I'd have to re-advertise. Remember, there was a legal notice in the newspaper. I've posted the property. Letters went out. 50 letters went out to everybody within 300 feet. So we would have to redo that because everybody's property.
But it doesn't. Well, we need to formally request that that be done. I mean, the last three meetings have been postponed without.
And that was just for this group. It didn't go. Now we've gone out public with the meeting coming up on the 30th.
We didn't go public on the other meeting.
No, just it was an internal training. We were just trying to do a change, so it didn't go beyond this group right here.
So what if we set a Friday meeting? Whether or not we attend or not will depend on what we as a group feel like individually with the information that we're going to get. I'm just saying, be preemptive perhaps and set an. Do what we need to do to set an emergency meeting. It's easier to call one off than it is to set one up. And if come Friday we've read this and we're still uncomfortable,
yeah, but
I think
we need to make it first. I don't know that we need to have a formal meeting to postpone the meeting.
And I don't know that you have to postpone the meeting. You can take evidence and witnesses. And you still may, as a board, decide to table the decision for 1 week or 2 weeks and return because of the volume of materials. There are some boards of adjustment that do not receive materials in advance. Because it's a de novo review, in theory, you're sitting like the DRB, where you get your stuff presented to you and you make your decision. So just because one side has put a large volume of material in doesn't mean that you don't have a mechanism to proceed with part of your hearing. And then if you say, gosh, this is every page, I got something, I need time.
So we could schedule a second meeting after the first hearing render a decision.
Yeah.
So we could ask for time to review the record and then render
a decision. You're a jury, you're analogous to a jury. Mm-hmm. And a jury doesn't get the evidence a week in advance to go through to make a decision.
No.
They get it at that point and then take the time necessary afterwards to come up with a verdict.
And we could do a date certain, right? So that means I don't necessarily have to. So those that are in attendance will know the date, so we don't actually have to send out other letters or those. But as long as it's a date certain, right, we'll say we're going to meet exactly 2 weeks from today on this date.
So do we have to have another meeting scheduled to table it to that meeting?
No.
Or do we have to have an agenda item that allows us to push
the discussion to another meeting.
No, we could basically, we could just continue.
At any given point in time?
Our chairman can continue it.
I think it may help when we get this material, if we remind ourselves, we only had three issues, stairways, you know, exterior stairways.
And setback, yeah.
And just, yeah, and just focus on those three things rather than the, I mean.
From what I'm hearing is they didn't focus on that in the 1,000 pages. And so we've got to go through that and figure out where they did touch on the matter.
It's organized from index, so you can find it. It'll be like, oh, turn to that page.
Okay, well, let's see which we get tomorrow.
And I think it'd also be their responsibility to point those things out in their presentation.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, and that is part of what that advocacy will be. You all have the homework that's really the dig into it homework to me as a zoning code and the design and review guidelines for that historic overlay district. So that you're like, oh, right, you gotta kind of refresh your recollection in those areas.
And will Paul send us a link to that?
I could do, it's online, it's on the city website.
Okay.
I mean, I can do a link, or I could even do those specific pages if you like.
Yeah, the pages would be.
That would be great.
I can pull those out, and I can make sure Dan, we're on the same page on that, but, yeah, I know there's a lot there, but if you want me to pull out the pages that really pertain to what you're gonna be looking at, I can do that.
Yeah.
Well, there is an historic code that aren't in black and white. I mean, when they talk about in you know, agreeing to the design and area of the neighborhood and the fashion in which the neighborhood was originally constructed.
And then I should mention.
It's gonna be, if nothing else, gonna be interesting. That's why, maybe we should have a policeman here, I mean, I hope so, because I think some of the residents won't come if they're hidden.
Oh, yeah.
There will be.
So, some suggestions. Our chairman should either announce at the beginning how you're going to handle the whole hearing and also board questions, and then everybody, you know, try to abide by that if you can, and try, if you didn't get your third question and the person next to you doesn't have one, maybe you could pass to the person next to you, I mean, sort of work that out. You shouldn't ask questions of the people who are not testifying or other presenters, unless it is to staff. So if one of the people in the audience has just given his 30-minute presentation and somebody else is talking as a witness for somebody else and you have an opportunity to question, you say, well, you know, didn't I just hear Joe say, or Jim, and you look out into the audience, and Jim's like, yeah, that's exactly what I said. And he's like, I thought that's what you said, and it was Brad, right? And then you got
to
be real
careful. Unless they refer to that person in their testimony.
Even if they do, you can remember what they said, but you don't get to go back and ask somebody out in the audience to clarify what they testified to. That is... I mean, you're king. You remember what they said, you say.
Well, I think we also need to rely on our chair, who has great legal knowledge.
Right.
While we've all been heard hearings of one type or another, I don't think anybody has experience to be there. So, anyway.
But there are no questions allowed from the audience, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. No call to the public. This agenda has no call to the public. A call to the public is a courtesy, and I don't believe a call to the public is appropriate at a Board of Adjustment hearing, most particularly one where you give an hour to each side to present and 15 minutes on rebuttal. If there is a person out in the audience who says, hey, I have something to say about your whatever, at a break or something, they can go to the applicant or the appellant, whoever they want, and say, call me as a witness. I got some good news, you know, whatever. And that then is that person's responsibility. But the call of the public in this case is not, it is unreasonable. There's a mechanism to allow for it in by somebody calling those people as a witness. So
All right, technical question.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about rebuttal, and then your notes talk about closing argument. Basically, you have rebuttal and surrebuttal, or you basically, are they going to be able to ask questions? All right, the applicant asks his questions, basically, the, how am I going to do this?
The applicant?
And then the appellant can question the applicant, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the applicant can rebut that, can put on witnesses following that questioning by...
If it's the applicant's turn.
If it's, right, it's in his case, as it were.
Right, and then at the very end, he's going to get his closing remarks.
Okay, but they are closing, in other words, it's not testimony.
Right, at that point, he doesn't get, yeah, closing remarks.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So first the city, then the applicant, and then Mr. Laird, or, and whoever calls, okay.
And then the closing remarks, by then, hope you will probably have heard it all, and it'll be great if people say, you know, you've heard it all. Please decide in my favor, but, you know, people don't always do that.
I feel real comfortable with this group, that's one thing, it's nice. I sat on a jury where somebody actually referred to what Matlock would have done in... So, you know, having this experience, is really comforting, I'm telling you. This is a good board.
Okay. Yeah, the Reagan's rules and the other handouts, so it's a funny interplay of parliamentary procedure. All of that comes in after you have your trial. Then, as a board, you go through the process of discussion, motions.
And this is all in public.
And that's all in public. And that is all going to be in public. So certainly that's where your parliamentary procedure starts to come in, and that's where the training for how to conduct a trial stops. And you can remind each other, yeah, but didn't you hear, blah, 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 and the other one say that. You know, that is part of the nature of evidence presentation and listening as a trier of fact, is everybody picks up something different. Or you can have heard enough and say, you know, I've heard enough. I'm absolutely, here's my decision. Chair, you will need to decide. I'm not advising one way or another. You may want to present the question at the end as a whole application or item by item. I think item by item makes more sense. But,
certainly.
Okay. And I think it'll keep it cleaner. Just so you know, boards of adjustment, the appeal from a board of adjustment, if you don't like the decision, is to the courts. So that appeal to the courts is judged by what we call an arbitrary and capricious standard. Arbitrary and capricious is the easy one is when they don't let somebody talk or they... give one side an hour and another side 2 minutes, or in some way act so outside of the bounds that it's an unfair process. If there is reasonable basis for the decision that you reach, that is that decision can be upheld. And be proud of yourselves for serving in the process and put it behind you. It's not a win or lose. Somebody's going to be unhappy. And somebody's going to be happy, most likely. So just be sure that if you feel, I feel that lime green is a perfectly good color for the historic district, and here's why. I've got four houses in that district I know of that have lime green, and they all have cupolas. You can provide the basis for your decision based on facts that you were presented, and that renders it not arbitrary and capricious. That's super helpful. So if you come to a conclusion on one of the items and you can jot down a couple of reasons why, that's super helpful. But essentially, a court would look at everything that was presented and say, gosh, you know, they're the trier of fact. That's the decision they made. So.
It's a roll call vote, right?
I don't see anything that requires a roll call vote.
And what'd you say?
It could be verbal or I mean, it could be just a...
Voice roll?
Or a roll call.
Does it, and that brings me to a question. Everybody has received training, I assume, and signed a conflict of interest waiver, or a conflict of interest disclosure, excuse me, and has read or received some training on conflict of interest and when you need to recuse yourself or when you may have bias. Is that fair to say that everybody has had some training, read some?
Well, I don't think there's been any formalized process that's required when you sit on a committee or commission.
Okay.
It requires you to sign a conflict of interest. I know the mayor has done pretty good due diligence when he looks at who he appoints to a commission or a board.
Right.
And I think all of us have been in a position somewhere where we understand what conflict of interest
Absolutely.
Is. And we're still driven by the open meeting law, which also talks about conflict of interest. So unless someone has a problem,
good. No, I just
want to
make
sure. Oh, I was going to say, was there something we signed a while ago?
Well, you were to protect the city of Bisbee against all enemies, foreign and
domestic. No, that one. But I seem to recall, because it's been a while, that, you know, this was rescheduled a couple times. I thought there was something like that. But I don't remember. It might have been for something else.
Okay. So the conflict of, it's the avoid conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. Avoid participating in anything that you have an interest in, a financial interest, or you have personal affiliation such that it would affect your decision. And so just everybody do your own internal check, and I wanted to make sure that everybody had thought about that and on the upcoming hearing.
I'm sure most of us are going to know at least one or two of the witnesses.
Absolutely.
You know, I suppose the question is how close you are and what appearance there may be of bias, I guess. I don't know.
That's right.
You'll just have to handle that when it comes up. I don't know.
Yeah, and as a judge would ask a potential juror, are you able to make a fair and impartial decision despite the fact that you know that person or you knew their babysitter or whatever? And, you know, I think that's just the important thing to remember. And you're right. As witnesses come in, we don't know what's going to get presented exactly. Keep that check in mind. And, you know, if your wife or husband comes in and you're like, oh, great, you're a witness, I got to go, you know, but there'll be a line somewhere. You can make decisions based on, it's not the evidence presented, but also generally publicly known, such as everybody knows that the Copper Man statue isn't real copper, you know. It sounds goofy, but...
It's not.
Actually, it is.
Oh,
it is.
Okay.
Concrete inside.
No, it actually is copper. I did a study for community development in the city. So, and the people of the town didn't like the way it patinaed, so they painted over the copper. So you can't get back to the original copper. That report's in there. And I worked for John Charlie.
You are amazing, all the information. I didn't know. So anyway.
I didn't know who it's designed by.
It would be the Green Man if they
The Green Man.
And it was, and they objected to it.
The giant green guy. So generally publicly known things, you know, there are some potholes in the road in Bisbee, or the trees don't shed their leaves. I'm not complaining. It slows people down.
Yeah, general knowledge.
Yeah. Okay. And... you may not, as a Board of Adjustment, you may not consider the ramifications to any party or the city of the decision that you're making. You are to make your decision, does the applicant qualify for these three things based on what you represented? It is not relevant. Oh my gosh, what if we decide that way? You know, everybody is going to mutiny and there'll be, you know, a big party in the street. I don't know. You can't have those impact your decision. And there will be, I expect there will be appeals that are maybe subtle and maybe really right up in your face, but are trying to get you to think about stuff like that.
Mittening's already in process, so you need to worry about that.
Yeah, burning on.
Bisbee, it does mutiny every once in a while anyway, so. And you may ask for breaks, and your chair will probably
bring you some water. This sounds like a long one.
Yeah, probably need to schedule a few breaks. Be very careful on the breaks, not to, you can be civil and stuff, but you kind of have to act like you're a juror on jury duty while you're going through this process. And that'll give the parties a little bit of time to regroup.
Sure, well, when we do have a break, we don't talk to the parties or the witnesses.
And if you're in the bathroom and they're and they've got the only soap dispenser, you might have to excuse me. But, yeah. Okay, so that is where I'm heading. The code designer review guidelines, so that you know them and you understand your understanding of them, and then when the evidence and the facts get presented, you can fit them into those categories. I am there to advise the board, but I am not there to take a position, and I am not here to comment on the evidence. And other than my declaration that there's no jurisdiction to hear this anything old, it's only what's within the 30-day appeal period, I'm not there to impact your work. I'm just there to help.
If something like that should arise and we just kind of ignore it or not aware of it, is it appropriate for you to say this is outside the scope of the appeal?
Yeah. It is. I can envision this scenario taking place, which is that the appellant may say to you, the board, hey, I want an official vote on that position. And my advice to you as legal counsel to the board is that you follow my advice and say, yeah, we're limiting it to these three. That is an official action of the board.
Right. Well, that's what's on the agenda, I imagine.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that is sufficient. If he thinks he needs that official vote, there's not a problem with that. Okay. You may find that keeping, it's true of all things, and I'm not going to pick on Bisbee for doing it, but keeping things on point and on target is tough, but our chair is going to be great at doing that. So,
I two questions. One, I'm probably going to prepare a script as far as the introduction procedure and things of this nature and make sure I don't forget anything. And I'm sure I may have some questions about procedure after this meeting. Is it all right if I email you asking those questions?
Yes.
Just you. I won't have, not the other members.
I think that's appropriate. You can ask me legal questions,
right.
Procedure questions.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the your position that this meeting is limited to these three issues, that has been your decision, and they have agreed to that?
They haven't gone up on special action to the courts on it, and so I am sure that he's holding that, you know, insult in reserve, but it is, the hearing on these three issues is what we're going forward on, and I have heard no objection to that from either party. I take that back. I've heard an objection from one party, but no other mechanism.
No formal objection.
No formal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in that room, have you all ever been in there and sat up on the dais? And
I never sat up there.
Was it the supervisor's room or somewhere else?
It'll supervisor's room. Yeah.
It'll be packed.
And is it? Is it easy to hear back there? Will everybody be able to hear easily?
The mics will be there. So each one of you, there was a mic either for you or for two of you to share.
Are the mics for council or whoever, are they activated and at the podium?
Yeah. So be careful of your...
And the room. No, I wasn't thinking of me. I want to be able to hear what they're asking.
The room has great acoustics. And the... what we would call the witness box where you speak. But that has a mic, so you shouldn't have any difficulty in hearing. And it has a little wall around it, so people start throwing things, they can duck down and avoid. The mayor's pot's bulletproof.
And is it extraordinarily hot up there? Okay. It gets real hot.
It's a beautiful meeting. I mean, I don't think I've ever met in a nicer room.
I agree. It's really nice. Logistically, any other things about the room, where they're going to put up demonstrative things?
I know there's two screens in there, and we'll talk about normally, you know, if the applicant will bring in their PowerPoint on a flash drive, I'll make sure that everything is functioning so you can view it on either screen. And
simultaneous.
Yeah, simultaneously. So we'll figure all that out. Okay. Make sure you guys will have good visual of the materials.
So bring your reading glasses and your all the way across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But is there a requirement for them to only bring their PowerPoint as it applies to the three items, or are we going to be subject to...
I suspect they're not going to adhere to that.
Yeah. I think I knew the answer before I asked that.
But they've only got an hour for their presentation, mm-hmm. so if they want to muddy the waters and use up an hour to go to talk about all kinds of...
And the chairman can say, could we move on? This doesn't pertain to the three items.
Yes, remind them they only have an hour. This doesn't appear to be relevant, you know.
We ask for clarification of something, mm-hmm. we might take that into consideration as an extension of time.
Right.
Okay, so.
You could say, gosh, my questions on that witness actually ended up taking up 20 minutes of this time. The chairman, would you allow them a little extra time because of the questions I asked? And questions you ask are welcomed by any presenter who's got their wits about them, because that means you're on it and that's what you're interested in, and it tells them where you're thinking. So they're well received typically.
And Mr. Sky is representing himself?
As far as I know. Okay. Been pretty radio silence from that direction.
Well. But even across the street, radio silence is not something I've been used to.
I think you guys are amazing.
Well, I just wanted to say, if I might, first of all, thank you very, very much. Mm-hmm. I personally really appreciate everything you've done in the city's behalf.
My pleasure.
And I want to thank the Board of Adjustment. It's a very difficult situation. And I really appreciate you being here, volunteering for the position, because it's important to the city, it's important to the citizens, that everybody gets their day in court. And that's exactly what it is giving them their day in court on an appeals process. And this particular appeal that is your first appeal as a board is uglier than normal. You're talking about conflict of interest. I have been accused of conflict of interest by both parties.
They're not the only ones, right?
Cancels yourself out, right?
Yeah. I think that we've got a good board, and I really appreciate you coming to assist the city.
Yeah, I, Mr. Mayor, I don't think I've sat on a more qualified board after hearing you just people give their background. You know, I've been on some boards and commissions that were great. But this is a very qualified board, and I think we follow our chair's lead.
Absolutely.
We will stay within legal boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And knowing him through Rotary,
he
can do it with a soft touch too. Okay.
Absolutely. And you have good legal counsel backup, so I mean we're in good shape.
Well, that's my fallback position. We've been advised by...
And our staff liaison really knows what he's doing, so we're in excellent hands.
Okay, so we'll expect some electronic materials tomorrow. I guess tomorrow.
As soon as we can get it, get them on.
Obviously, if you have issues, go to your staff liaison, but I'm available also. If you have questions or you can also email me.
And it will help. You talked about having narrowing what the issues are, or rather being able to point out the areas of the zoning code and the DRD regs that are really the ones that we should be looking at. That would be helpful if you include that.
And that will also be outlined in the staff presentation.
Right, that's correct.
To clarify exactly what we're talking about and where it's represented. Okay.
That's correct.
And you're the staff, right?
Staff doesn't already make that presentation. No, but I mean, they're going to have plenty of time to do what they need.
Right, how long?
In our last hearing, the staff didn't show, so... He was ill, actually. Okay, are we done then?
Yes, do I think we...
Do we need to adjourn?
I move the adjourn.
Any objections? Hearing motion to adjourn? All say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? You're going to adjourn anyway.
Unanimous.
Again, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Sorry I was late. I was in Tucson.
Well, we've already gotten done talking about you.
We were done.
I'm used to it. Peter, how are you, sir?
Good.
How are you?
Good.
Nice to see you.
Good.